Welcome this Memorial Day weekend, and to all of you kids, welcome. We're glad you're here. I don't know if you've noticed what psalm we're going to be looking at today, but it is Psalm 67. Do it with me. All right. It's got seven verses, and I've put verse 6 and 7 together just for you kids. All right. Well, welcome this morning. We are going to be looking at a great psalm. This is a psalm that is a missions type of psalm. By the way, welcome if you're here for the first time. My name is Jonathan Smith. I'm the teaching pastor here at Creekside, and we're so glad to have you, and especially on kind of a holiday weekend. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad to have you with us. We're going to be looking at this psalm, and in Psalm 67, it is very much a idealistic moment for Israel. Israel has had a number of moments where they're going to ask things of the Lord, and so this is going to be one of those moments in Psalm 67 where they're going to ask to be a blessing. They're going to ask to be what they were intended to be, and this is often thought of as a psalm that's given during a harvest season, a psalm that's given when people are celebrating. They've worked all summer. It's in the fall. They're bringing in the crops, and this is how the psalm is structured. So of these seven verses, you can kind of see the mirror image back and forth. This is a certain type of Hebrew poetry. I'm going to leave this up just for a second so you can write it down if you'd like. But it's mainly the idea that at verse 1 and 2 and verse 6 and 7, they ask God to bless them. They want to be blessed so that they can then turn around and be a blessing to the nations. In verses 3 and 5, the same phrasing is repeated. May all the people of the earth praise you. And then in the middle is kind of the key text. This is the verse of verses. And it's the idea that joy is found in being in God's universal rule. So we're going to look at this together, and we're going to kind of walk step by step, but I'm going to phrase it and word it in a little bit of a different way, okay? We're going to look at it like this. Missions is grounded in God's plan. We're going to start with this idea that missions is grounded in God's plan. About 100 and maybe 80 years ago now, a man named John Patton was working in Scotland. He was an urban missionary. We call him an urban missionary. He's working inner city. People are being saved. They're coming to Christ. Large Bible studies, orphanages, all these kinds of wonderful things. And God puts it on this man's heart to leave Scotland and travel around the world to kind of not quite Southeast Asia, where one of our teams is going, but right in the middle between Australia and Honolulu. If you were to kind of draw a line right in the middle, it's the islands called the New Hebrides, and he's a young man. He's about 34 years old. He's done ministry, in Scotland for a number of years, and now God is moving his life, and this older man comes up to him, Mr. Dixon, he writes about, and he says, "Son, they're going to eat you. They're cannibals," which is it was not an exaggeration. Honestly, a couple of years before, about 18 years before, a ship stopped by these islands, and a man by the last name Williams and another Harris got off the boat. They kind of, took the smaller boat to the islands. As soon as they made it to the islands, they were clubbed to death, cooked and eaten while the ship offshore watched. And so John feels this desire to go to these people and share with them something they had not heard for 18 centuries. And when Mr. Dixon says, "These cannibals are going to eat you," this is what John responds to them. He says to this Mr. Dixon, "Mr. Dixon, you are now advanced in years, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave and to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I'm eaten by cannibals or eaten by worms. And on the great day of resurrection, my resurrected body will look as fair as yours." That's a great quote. Doesn't matter who in the end gets the body. What matters is the fame and the glory of Jesus Christ. So let's look at this passage together. It's a beautiful one, and we're going to kind of focus in on God's mission. His mission is grounded in God's plan. Look with me in verse number one. Here's what it says. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Selah. If you remember last week, Selah was this idea that you all kind of just like take a moment. Don't speed through these seven verses. Just like take a breath and take it in. What does this sound like to you? May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. There's another verse, there's another promise that maybe this is rooted in that's found a little bit farther back in the Old Testament. It's found actually in Numbers chapter 6 and 24, where Aaron's blessing over Israel would say this, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. It's a blessing for Israel. And this psalm, although it's talking about the nations, begins at home. It begins with God, bless us. Please let your face shine upon us. Be gracious to us. Make it to where we know you're near us. This is the opposite of the idea that God is indifferent to them. You know, if someone's face is shining upon you, it is not that they have turned their back on you. It is not that they are angry at you or scolding you or scowling at you. It's that their face is shining. Think of Sunday morning. Sorry, Christmas morning. That's also can be on Sunday. Think of Christmas morning. Not so much the kid who's excited about the gift, but I want you to remember and think of the parent who smiles as they watch the kid open the gift. If mom and dad were to sit around and Christmas gifts are laid out on the floor and kids are opening, but they're over here playing on their phone or they're out somewhere else, like, you know, just kind of spending time neglecting the children. That's the opposite of this idea. What this psalm is asking is that God would be gracious and he would bless them, but he would do it with his face shining upon them, that they would be able to feel and sense that he is happy with them. That his face would shine on them. It's this, not just material blessings even, but that their relationship with him would be good. That God would give physical blessings, he would give harvest blessings, he would give health blessings, he would give business blessings, that he would bless the new business, that he would, you know, let the person's, savings grow, that he would shine on them with good relationships and healthy kids and people that, you know, just all the successes that you and I often pray for. They start there, but they go a little deeper. They're asking that God's face would shine upon them. Can you get everything you want and still be miserable? Yes, that's the answer. Yes, you can. I was listening to a book on Audible. It's called The Art of Spending Money, and I think Morgan Housel is the author, and he says that they've done numerous studies that the more that you gain in life, if you're a happy person already, money can make it better. If you're already an angry or just nasty person, more money after a certain level of like basic needs doesn't make your life better. In fact, often it makes it worse. So what is already on the inside matters so much more than what you get on the outside. It's not just that God would be gracious and overflow goods, but that his face would shine upon you. Has God's face shined on you today? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know today that God is not angry at you, that you are not under the wrath of God, but you have been set free, you've been forgiven? Do you know if his face is shining on you today? Friend, that's where we have to begin. It's where you and I have to, we all have to begin with, do you know God? Do you know his face? Do you hear his voice? Are you a sheep in his fold? And if you're not, what a great day. What a great day to know that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection made a way so that you might know him. And know that his face is not an angry face of a judge, but his face is one that shines on you. What a great day. Here's the point, though. He says, we want to be blessed, verse number one. So verse number two, that your way may be known on the earth, that your saving power may be seen among the nations. What I loved about this morning, and if you were here a couple of weeks ago, Celebration Sunday, the world is watching. Christian, the world is watching you. They hear you say that you're a Christian. They hear you say that God's face shines on you. They hear you say that God is gracious to you and blesses you. But do you show that? Do you express that? That they may know him, that his way may be known on the earth and his saving power among all the nations. Do people see in your life any difference from theirs at all? That's the question. I love Celebration Sunday a couple of weeks ago because you got to show and express and share all the ways that God was moving in your life, all of the ways his face was shining on you. And this morning, we just got to celebrate all these groups. Some of our college students are already in Southeast Asia, and our Germany trip and El Salvador trip, how great are these going to be? They are going to be our physical representation. They are going to be our own people who are going to go out into the nations, and they are going to make his way known to people who do not yet know him. Some who've never heard his name. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is not because Abraham was awesome, but that Jesus was going to come through Abraham, and he was going to be the one through whom all the nations would be blessed. When people look at your life, do they not only see a prosperous life, but do they see a life that has been blessed by the face of God? Do they hear you speak of him in a way that gives the credit not to your work ethic and not to your discipline or your, you know, quick intellectual prowess, but to the grace and the glory of Jesus Christ? So, this has been God's plan from the beginning. As you make your way through, Jesus rises from the dead, and before he is ascended into heaven, he tells all the disciples that they are now to go into all the earth and make disciples, right? You are to go and make disciples of all nations. And if you go to Romans, the end of Romans in chapter 15, Paul just says to these Romans they're struggling because they have a lot of Jews and they have a lot of Gentiles and they're trying to do church together and there's constant splits often wanting to happen. And Paul just says, hey, listen, Jews and Gentiles, remember this, part of God's plan in the Psalms, in Isaiah, in Deuteronomy, all the way through was that the Gentiles would glorify God. They would all participate in God's plan. So if missions is grounded in God's plan, that all the nations and all the peoples would know him, here is how the next thing it's going to work. Missions is now focused on God's praise. And when it says pace, I'm just noticing that is definitely a misspelling and we'll fix it before 11, okay? It's focused on his pace. So let's look at it together. Let all the peoples praise you. Verse number 3, oh God, and let all the peoples praise you. Now notice verse 5 is exactly the same thing. Let all the peoples praise you, oh God. Let all the peoples praise you. Okay, so verse 3 and verse 5 are exactly the same thing. And any time that you repeat yourself or I repeat myself or a psalm repeats itself, it is meant to spark our minds to pay attention. It's meant to kind of draw us in to say, okay, he has said this twice. Why repeat it? And in this case, this is the point. John Piper wrote a book entitled Let the Nations Be Glad. And in just the first chapter, just the first page or two, is worth its weight in gold, where he just says, missions is not the point of the church. He goes on to actually say it like this. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Praise is. Missions exist because worship does not. Worship is the ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate and not man. When the ages are done and we move into heaven and we're with Jesus and our God for the new heavens and new earth forever and ever and ever, you won't have missions. You won't have pastors. But worship will abide. It will remain forever and ever and ever. This is how 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says it. You are a chosen race and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We have been blessed. Israel had been blessed to know the Father. And yet, even today, out of the probably 10,000, 11,000 different people groups, and you got to define that specifically. I'm not talking nations, but actual people groups or subgroups with their own culture and their own language. Out of 11,000 of those, 6,000, even today, do not know, have never heard of Jesus Christ. Not they've heard and rejected. This is about 2 billion people around the world, okay? So 2 billion out of the people in the world right now have never heard of Jesus Christ. That should blow our minds. It should break our hearts, and it should make us want to leave this place, College Station, Texas, and take it around the world, because there are people who have not heard, lived, heard a bunch of sermons, and then rejected and thought, I don't really think so, I'll pass, I'm gonna choose this other way. They have never, ever heard of Jesus Christ. And it is our joy not to do missions, but it is our joy to help them have the opportunity to praise God. This praise is meant to be universal. It's the people over the whole earth, everywhere. And number two, also within this idea, notice this is the middle of the passage, okay? So verse number four, it's not just that they would know, but now verse number four, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and you guide the nations upon the earth. And again, you and I are to take a breath. Selah. This is what God wants to do. He wants them to know him, okay? That we may know him in verse number two, and in verse three and five, we're to praise him, and now you are to enjoy him. God is not the God who wants to just sit up there in heaven and just zap fun anywhere he sees it. Oh, that they look like they're having fun. Wow. You know, he's not shooting down joy. He is the creator of joy. He's the creator of laughter, humor. And in this verse, he says, I want the nations to know. I want them to receive gladness, and I want them to sing for joy. And he goes on to say that it's not a superficial joy. So notice, you know, we turn real quick from let the nations be glad and sing for joy to all of a sudden, because he judges the people. You're like, whoa, okay, you know. I don't often get joy when people judge me. I don't get joy when, you're feeling like you're being critiqued. But this is the idea that God is going to govern. The idea is he's going to oversee. He's going to calm the nations down. He's going to end strife. All the passages in Isaiah and Micah that talk about, you know, swords and spears being beaten into plowshares and fishing hooks, you know, like this is the idea that God is going to bring a joy to the nations. He's going to bring a gladness to them as he governs them and guides them. It is the idea of a mentor who comes alongside and says, no, what you're doing is wrong. Do it this way. And you find joy in just how good things can be. Paul will say that the nations are wandering around in their own ignorance. They don't know what they're doing. We don't know what we're doing. And that there's coming a day when the nations will be glad, and they will sing for joy when God governs them and guides them in the path they should go. It's enjoyment. It's a celebration that God is so good, he is so great, that we can enjoy him, and this message can go around the world. And you might think, yeah, but I'm not sure I should go. Well, you can help us pray for it. This is Matthew 9, 37 and 38, where he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Right? This is where John Patton could have stayed in Scotland. He could have done urban ministry and everybody would have been great and they would have loved him. They probably had a massive funeral because of all the lives he had touched. And he says, I'm gonna give all that away and I'm gonna go to these New Hebrides Islands. And even though my wife will become pregnant and will die in our first year and the baby will die 2 or 4 months later and I will dig both of their graves, it's worth it. He was a laborer willing to go into the harvest. So you might be, yeah, but that sounds really hard and I'm not sure I have the gifts for it. Well, Jesus speaks to that also in John 4, 37 and 38, where he says, for here is the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I send you to reap for what you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. This is language Jesus is using to kind of just get your mind around, get my mind off of countertops and get my mind off of work, get my mind off of just what I'm gonna do during the summer and get my mind off of what we're gonna do on Memorial Day and just kind of broaden your mind, you know, your mindset, broaden your vision, your perspective. What God is doing in the world is he's drawing all people to himself. And when you think, this seems too hard, Jesus just throws these little nuggets in front of your face to say, hey, you're just reaping what other people already sowed. You didn't save anybody. I did the heavy lifting. You weren't Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. You didn't have to be King David. Like, we get to participate in what God has already done. We're just reaping the harvest. The work or the message of Christianity is not, hey, come join us in this big heavy lift where we have to please God and earn favor and work our way to heaven. The message is God has saved us and received us and forgiven us because of what Jesus Christ has done. Now come and join the family. What a message. What a message. That we still get to participate in something so good and so great. And you might read these verses and be like, yes, this is gonna be great and easy. And then you're gonna go try it and you're gonna be like, oh, this is so hard. I think most of my first major moments in ministry all happened on the mission field. They were always short-term trips. But the first one we did was to the Sioux Indians in North Dakota. And they may have hated our whole group. It was on a reservation, and I remember going and thinking in my mind, I'm just gonna love these people, and man, these Indians, you know, like they're just gonna come to Jesus. And I remember just the first Sunday being there, I was in children's church, and these children were psychotic. They were all over the place. I don't know if anybody had ever heard the word no or been disciplined at all. And I remember I walked out of church. Our little hotel kind of place we were staying was just down the street, and you could walk back and forth to the church. And I remember, like, they got in the bus, all the rest of the team got in the bus and they were driving, and I just had to, like, walk it off. Like, I was so upset and angry, but I wasn't so upset with the children as much as I was upset that I got upset with the children. They were awful. It's true. But I was upset that I tried to do this in my own strength, and it was an utter failure. However, on that trip to children, I think it was the first time I had ever shared my faith. It was on a missions trip to Dominican Republic that I preached my first sermon ever. And so that was fun through a translator. Wasn't the easiest thing in the world. I probably preached it twice in 15 minutes. But you know, nobody was happy. Maybe nobody was upset. I got done early. My first funeral was in Belize. And it was overseas. My friend and I had gone back to kind of help a missionary who had his wife needed a surgery, so we were just going to go and preach and teach. And when we got into the city, one of the ladies in the church said, "Pastor, my two children died in a fire, and his funeral will be in 2 days. Will you be there?" I'm like, "Yep." And it was an interesting one. She had the Catholic priest go first, and she had the Jehovah's Witness pastor go last, and I was right in the middle. And so I just preached Jesus, you know? So that was my first funeral. So whether it's a sermon, a funeral, the first time that I tried to love some kids, the first time I tried to share the gospel, like these are moments that happen outside of your daily life. And so next year, maybe in the fall or the next spring, next time that one of these trips comes up, Germany, El Salvador, somewhere in Southeast Asia, I would encourage you, I would challenge you to go on one. You may not, you probably won't have to do a funeral or preach a sermon, but you can really love on some people. And they may or may not even want you to come. Most probably don't want you to come. They aren't interested in what you have to say. But the message isn't to please them, it is to let the glory and the name of God go around the world. Here's the third point, and we'll conclude this morning. Verses 6 and 7. You gotta make missions a daily choice. It's gotta be a daily choice, because if you don't make it a daily choice, it won't happen. Here's verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. It makes a hard turn, doesn't it? You're thinking, okay, let the nations be glad. This is going to be awesome. We're moving in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, he like shifts it. And he says, let the earth yield its increase. It's definitely like a harvest moment in the fall kind of thing. They're bringing in the crops. And the psalm is celebrating God's visual, physical, material blessings. God bless us. Our God shall bless us. They are calling him to bless their lives. Many of you run your own businesses. There is a major entrepreneurial spirit here in College Station. I love it. I think it's great. And so as all of you, many of you are just doing this, you're beginning to kind of just take a step, take a risk. And you think, is it right for me to ask God to bless my business? Yes, it is. Very much so. They're asking for the fields to yield an increase. And so, let me just say, that's great. And you should do that. And don't knock it. But then he goes on to say, that God shall bless us, let all the ends of the earth fear him. They don't stay at home. Their eyes are at home, and then they kind of look out onto the horizon. They come back home again. They look out to the horizon. It's the idea that God would bless you now so that you could be a blessing to the peoples around the nation. So let me wrap up with this statement, and we're just going to walk it through. It says, ask for blessings in order to be a blessing for the joy of the nations. Don't be afraid to ask for blessings. Ask God to bless you. Many of those going on this trip, many of you have contributed to. And you might think, yeah, but I mean, I want God's glory to go around the world, but I don't feel called to do it. That's fine. That's fine. Just honor the Lord where you are. Think of the body. How much energy is expended in your body every day? Your lungs are expanding and contracting. Your heart is beating, hopefully, on rhythm. Your digestive system is doing its thing. You know, your body is churning. Like, so much energy is consumed by just the internal organs that keep you and I alive every day. And think of missions as you would think of you using your hands and feet. You can go places and you can do things and you can build stuff, but you couldn't do anything if your heart stopped. You couldn't do anything if your lungs quit breathing. You couldn't do anything if your liver just said, I'm done, I'm out. You're gonna die. For every one of you who are just loving Jesus and living to glorify him right here at home, and you're evangelizing to coworkers and neighbors and friends and the person you meet at the shopping market and all of those things, as you just do that, but then also, you know, contribute, encourage, and send out these young people, you are being the internal organs that allows the hands and feet to go and do what they do. So don't knock it. And if a person never goes on a missions trip and they never go overseas, don't knock them either. Everyone is needed for the body to function in a healthy way. So ask for blessings, but don't let them live with you. You gotta ask for blessings in order to be a blessing. Here's how Moses warns the children of Israel to be careful. It says in Deuteronomy 8, he says, "Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and my might has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you both power to gain wealth. It is he who has confirmed his covenant with you. If you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I warn you today, you shall utterly perish. If you ask for blessings but only spend them on more blessings for yourself and you never let go of them in order to bless others or bless the nations, you are missing what God has for you. There is joy in being generous so that the nations can find the same joy you have. So, as we wrap up today, Psalm 67, they start by asking God to bless them so that they can then become a blessing so that the nations can find joy in the Lord. And my challenge to you today would be this. Doesn't matter if you're 5 or 95. As you pray, ask God to bless you. But think about ways in which those blessings can then turn around and bless others. And how can that be used to get to the nations? And maybe some of you are here today, and man, God is calling you to go. He's calling you to leave this place and go somewhere where his glory and his name are not known. I never finished John's story, but John Patton ends his life where an entire island, there's like 80 of them, but one of the islands he lived on, every single person came to Christ on that island. It was amazing. God's glory and God's name became known, and the nation became glad. What role does God have for you today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that today you will help us to keep an eye at home and abroad. That today we will have a heart that asks and receives blessings from you, knowing that they're from you, not from our own power, not from our own strength, our own wisdom. They came from you. And may we turn those blessings back into a blessing so that world evangelism and world missions gets accomplished. Lord, we pray for our 3 trips. I pray for those who are already in Southeast Asia. I pray for those who are going to Germany and going to El Salvador. I pray for our long-term missionaries who are already in the field, who can face discouragement and trials, who can find people difficult to love, who can face team trials and physical issues. Lord, bless them. And help us to just continue to lift them up. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.